Modern research is making the claim that the human attention span is decreasing over time. Currently, the average attention span for a teenager or an adult is reported to be about 10 to 20 minutes total. So considering the length of today's readings, I only have about 3 to 5 minutes left. I better hurry up and get to my point. So here it is. God the Father desires nothing more than to fill our hearts with His love, the gift of His Spirit, through His Son, Jesus Christ. He created each one of us in His image so that we might live in right relationship with Him, with creation, and with one another. And He's placed in each one of our hearts a longing, a very deep and intense thirst for this type of relationship. Now, this thirst can only be satisfied by the gift of His love. And yet, for various reasons, mainly a lack of faith, ignorance, or a lack of trust in the goodness of God, you and I tend to spend a lot of time looking elsewhere for just about anything that we think will satisfy this longing in our hearts. Instead of coming to Jesus Christ, the wellspring of living water that gives us the gift of God Himself, we try to satisfy that divine longing with earthly things. And yet, despite our stubbornness, and at times our outright rebelliousness, despite our sin and our feelings of shame and unworthiness that sometimes keeps us even from approaching God to ask for what our hearts truly desire, God continues to reach out to us. He continues to reach out to His beloved people and to draw them back to Himself. And He doesn't do it because we're good. He doesn't do it because we're worthy or we've somehow merited His love. But rather, He does it because He is good and is faithful to His promises. So if you remember nothing else from this homily, take that little part with you. That no matter where you are in your relationship with God, know that He desires more. And that He'll never stop offering us the grace that we need to be in right relationship with Him. If I still have your attention, let's take a look at the readings for today, because you'll notice three things. First, in the story from the book of Exodus, it's also told in the book of Numbers, the people of Israel are murmuring and complaining against God and Moses. They've been delivered from the slavery of Egypt, but now they find themselves in the desert, sort of wandering, lost. They're tired, they're hot, and they're thirsty. And their present situation is so difficult that they've completely forgotten about all the good things that God has already done to put them in the situation where they now are. And while their thirst is real and easily understood, their real sin lies in the fact that they failed to trust that God in His goodness would provide for their every need. And yet, despite this complaining, this lack of trust, this ungratefulness and rebelliousness, God gives them the water they need. Now, He doesn't do it because they deserve it. He does it because He has a deep and compassionate love for His people, even those who are sinners and rebel against Him. He never stops drawing His people back to Himself. So now let us take a look at the story in John's Gospel. Here's a Samaritan woman who's going to the well by herself at a time of day when she doesn't expect, nor does she want, anyone else to be there, because she doesn't want to be seen or encounter anyone. She's probably tired of being judged and rejected by others. And so she just goes alone to get her water. When she arrives, she finds this Jewish man sitting there by the well. Probably even from a distance, just seeing them sitting there made her feel self-conscious. But she needed the water, so she continues. And then this man, he has the audacity to ask her, a Samaritan woman, for a drink. Now, this is unthinkable to her and just about everybody else at that time. Because not only should a man not speak to a woman who is alone in public, But no Jew would ever think of asking a Samaritan for anything, much less consider using her utensil or bucket for a drink. So in this moment, Jesus is crossing every social barrier that's been established in order to encounter this woman. Having read the story, we know that Jesus gradually reveals to her his true identity as the Messiah. He also tells her about the right form of worshiping God, in which people worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And in doing so, he reveals to her the source of living water that will satisfy the deepest longing of her heart, a longing so deep that she's not even fully aware of it. In short, he's offering this woman, who has experienced great shame, rejection, and feelings of unworthiness, a new beginning. He's showing her the way back to right relationship with the Father, and he's offering her salvation. But the decision to accept it remains hers to make. Now, according to St. Augustine, the Samaritan woman represents all of us. She's a type or a foreshadowing of the church. She's a woman who is not yet righteous due to her own sinfulness and separation from God, and yet God, the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, is about to make her righteous. And God does the same thing for his bride, the church. Just as Jesus reached out to this woman who thought she was beyond the reach of God, so too does he reach out to us, the church. He knows our sins. He knows our weakness and our rebelliousness. He's heard our complaints and our lack of trust in him. Absolutely nothing in our hearts can remain hidden from him. And yet he continues to seek us out, to call us out and invite us to encounter him, so that that deep longing, the thirst that we have in our hearts for the divine love of God might be satisfied. And as St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Romans, God doesn't wait until we have our act in gear before he offers himself to us. He doesn't wait until we're completely sinless and perfectly holy. He does it while we're still sinners, because he never stops offering his grace to us. But at the same time, he will never force himself upon us. You and I have to be willing to receive what's being offered, to respond to it, to turn away from our sin and allow the love of God to transform our hearts so that we might live in right relationship with him and one another once again. And whether we're aware of it or not, that is the deepest longing of our heart. But it's also God's desire too. He thirsts for us. And he's waiting to see whether it's important enough to us to make the necessary changes in our lives to make that relationship a reality, instead of continuing to choose to live with a thirst that for us, no matter how hard we try or whatever source we turn to, never seems to be quenched. And in the end, leaves us dissatisfied, unfulfilled, and constantly looking for something more. Today, God says to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, in his written word, "Come to me, the living water, and you will never thirst again."